Is it Nauvoo?
No, I think it rhymes with NATO, like NAWO.
No.
Nauvoo?
No, 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 that's not sounding right. I know. How about Nauvoo?
Nauvoo, yes, you're right. Nauvoo.
Hello, and welcome to the Nauvoo Podcasts. Join us each fortnight in conversation with inspiring women and men who are contributing greatly to reducing the gender gap in the Australian workplace. We hope you take away powerful can-do actions from each episode that will add to the contribution you can personally make within your sphere of influence. And yep, it's Nauvoo.
Hi there, I'm Louise Ween and this is episode 2 of the new Nauvoo podcast. Have you ever been told that you're not commercial enough? Have you ever wondered why you've perhaps missed out on a key opportunity? Well, call it business savvy or call it commercially astute. In fact, call it whatever you might like. Commercial acumen is key to your career success. And today we're focusing on this in conversation with the fabulous Michelle Redfern to inspire our Nauvoo members to really think differently about how they step up their business savvy. Commercial acumen has been one of our key learning priorities for quite some time, and I must admit I'm rather perplexed at why we have lower take-up on programs, activities and events that focus on this key learning priority. I think it's really, really important, and I'm not alone. Many CEOs and ambassadors and mentors involved in the Nauvoo network absolutely passionately endorse commercial acumen as being key to career success in operations. So what is it? Well, it's understanding the business your organization is in, understanding the markets, understanding the levers that drive revenue up, costs down, drive innovation forward, and understanding key trends, both now and future. It requires us to look at our roles in the businesses that we're in with an internal and an external lens, and the development of a view of what we, our functions, our teams, and the business more broadly needs to do to succeed. It's understanding and articulating the impact that we're having on key KPIs and business targets and how these drive improvement in the higher order profit and loss and balance sheet. To get better at it requires us to pay attention to it. It requires us to practice it, to research, to analyze, and most importantly, to be curious, to ask lots and lots of questions of the right people at the right time. I'm so excited to be speaking with Michelle Redfern today. She's a great, inspiring friend of Nauvoo, and she is an award-winning advisor, speaker, MC and facilitator. Michelle has founded Advancing Women, an enterprise providing advisory services on equality, inclusion, and gender diversity. And she's determined to contribute to achieving global gender equality in her lifetime. I can absolutely say that she's making great headway towards that. Michelle also has a very strong background in operations coming from the banking sector. She understands the challenges of the business world. She is commercially astute. And she loves to help other people find their commercial acumen on button. So without any further ado, please join us in this conversation. I know it will inspire you to step up your commercial savvy with Nauvoo in 2019.
It's lovely to have you. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us about this important topic, commercial acumen. We love this topic at Nauvoo.
Me too. Well, I love Nauvoo and I love talking about money, power and influence. And the more we can get our wonderful women in business talking about it and understanding it, the better we'll be.
I absolutely agree. So tell us, Michelle, Advancing Women in Business and Sport, how did you come to be doing the amazing work that you are doing? What's your, you know, briefly, what's your journey to this?
Yeah, it has to be brief because I've been on the earth for 53 years. Long story, but so very briefly, I've had a career working across all sorts of operations. I've always been in leadership roles, but and always been very, very conscious of inclusion, you know, advancing women, gender diversity, etc. And a few years ago, I did a couple of things happened. One, I realised when I was in a very large corporation that the Messiah wasn't coming. There was no one creating a solution for gender equality, and it was up to me and a lot of other people like me. And the second thing that occurred was that I was finishing my MBA, and I had done a major around innovation and entrepreneurialism. And I realised that my desire for gender equality and my really strong business skills combined with my newly realised skills that I was very entrepreneurial and innovative meant I could bring those together to create a gender equality advisory practice. So a lot of burning desire, a lot of experience and a few aha moments, and here I am running an advisory organisation really to help move less about talk, more about action. So moving gender diversity from conversation to action.
Which is what we absolutely love about the work you do, Michelle, and it's fantastic to have you involved in the work that NAWO does as well. So thank you for that. So commercial acumen, this is something we've been, you know, it's one of our five key learning priorities, which are very important to us at NAWO. We, you know, have a great curriculum that we design around those learning priorities, and also our events, we kind of try to make sure we focus on them. And our commercial acumen one seems to be one where people drag their feet a little bit when it comes to coming along and getting involved. And you know, we always leaves us scratching our head a little bit, to be honest. So tell us what your, I guess, view of commercial acumen is. What is it, and how is it different to financial acumen, for example?
Yeah, well, you know, financial acumen is certainly around knowing the numbers and, you know, that the profit and loss, balance sheet, cash flow, which you know, for a lot of people who aren't necessarily numbers driven or have that analytical drive, leaves them a bit cold. But the questions that I ask to answer that question are things like, are you someone that can make really good judgments and quick decisions when you're at work? Can you off the cuff talk about the strategy and the direction that your organisation is taking? Do you know what keeps your CEO and your board awake at night? And how do you measure success in your company? And the answer to those are essentially, when you're a leader with commercial acumen, you know the answers to those questions. Mm-hmm. You know what keeps your CEO and board awake at night. You know how to set and deliver, execute on strategy. You know how to make great business decisions because you know the numbers that the story that the numbers tell, and you can make great decisions that are in line with the strategy and the financial metrics of your organisation. So for me, at the very, very core of this is about really great decision making because you're across the things that matter, the metrics that matter in your organisation.
Absolutely. And I really love that description of telling a story from the numbers. I think that that's something that is so powerful when you can be in a room and explain where your component of the business is at based on the numbers that you're looking at, rather than just reading them out and sort of saying, well, we're here against budget, or, you know, there's a bit of an art to it, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. And look, there are, you know, we, particularly in larger organisations, we always have a finance team and a team of accountants, whether they're financial or management accountants. However, the people that are able to take the data, so those numbers, grab some insights from them and then translate that into actual insights for the organisation, they're the ones who have mastered that art. And look, I always say to people, I am not a natural at numbers. I have to work hard at numbers. Whereas, you know, my partner is a CFO and numbers come very, very easily to her. So she can look at a set of numbers and immediately compute. But as she quite often says, but then I can tell a story about them really well. You don't have to be an accountant to be able to be good at commercial acumen. But what you do need to know is, what are the numbers that matter and why, and how do they tell a story? But more importantly, how can you make those decisions really effectively? Understand what sits behind them.
Absolutely. And I often think that what you want as a person in operations management is a really strong finance person to help you make sure the numbers are right. But then you've got to do the interpreting. So, you know, you've got to take it to that next level of telling the story. But it's fantastic to have those brilliant attention to detail finance people who can make sure that the picture is correct in the first place.
Oh, absolutely. And this is the whole art of having real diversity and inclusion in your teams. So great leaders make sure that they construct teams that are not in their own image, but more importantly, they surround themselves with people. In fact, I once heard someone say, oh, as a leader, I want to be the dumbest person in the room. Surround myself with really clever people, people who augment my skills and strengths, but also close the gaps in perhaps the things that I'm not as strong on. But even in saying that, I remember when I did corporate finance in my MBA, my lecturer was absolutely fabulous. She said, Michelle, here's what you need to know. You need to know if someone's telling you a story, whether it's true or not. So yes, you don't need to know the ins and outs of every number, but you need to understand if they're really on point or not. And your teams need to know that you know that. So this is why it's so important for us to, you know, not get caught in the weeds of, you know, every line item on every, you know, the balance sheet and the P&L, but certainly understanding, again, I always talk about the story that those numbers tell. It's so important.
Which also helps us make much better decisions as leaders if we're able to interpret those stories correctly from what the numbers are telling us, which is so important for leading the business. The other, I guess, side to it too is our branding of ourselves. So when we're able to talk to numbers in that way, people that matter will take notice of us, right?
Oh, most certainly. And, you know, there's a great saying that, you know, when you're talking to your boss, and it's work I do for another organisation, but there's, when you're talking to your boss, you talk numbers first, then people. When you're talking to your people, you talk people first, then numbers. Don't mess up, but craft it differently. But your leader needs to understand that you've got that commercial edge, that when you make decisions, you're not making them simply in a one-dimensional way, whether it be from a heart-led versus a head-led. You know, you need to make a really sound decision based on all of the factors. And, of course, the numbers are a big part of that.
Absolutely. So, Michelle, if we're a little bit, you know, we know we've got a gap here. We know that it's not our strength and we have a bit of a tendency to maybe either feel really nervous about it before we go into a meeting where we have to present on the numbers or avoid it altogether. How do we improve our commercial acumen? Yeah. Where do we start?
You know, avoidance is such a well-used tactic. And look, and I'll be honest, it's certainly something that it was a tactic I used for probably the first half of my career. And then I was thrown quite literally into the deep end in the numbers world and thought, well, I better actually do something about it. So if I use my own example, I started in a role where there was a belief that I was really good at this stuff. And I thought, oh, crumbs, well, I better... So I set about understanding what really the minimum of what I needed to know. So I got help. Now, the fact that I lived with a CFO is very useful. But then I also went and did my MBA and I did some, you know, finance for non-finance manager type short courses because I absolutely had a gap and I thought, well, I can either say I've got that gap and it doesn't matter, but I knew it was going to halt my career then and there. And I knew that because I was driven, ambitious, and I wanted to be able to shape organisations and lead them, I needed to get better at this and close that gap. So quite literally, I did a gap analysis. What don't I know and versus what I do need to know? And I set about understanding what how to close that gap. So as I said, short courses, getting advice from a mentor. Very lucky that I had that mentor in my own home. But sat down and took me through, you know, really granular detail, and then started to put it into practice. And I put it into practice. I was very clear with a colleague of mine at the time. I said, look, these are my gaps. Can I run my numbers by you first before I present them into, you know, either a business case or a project plan, whatever it may be. So honestly, I got very intentional and deliberate about closing that gap.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And one little thing that I've done, because it's certainly not a strength for me either, and I spent time with the treasurer from the NAWO board before every board meeting, where I would just pretend I was presenting and he would give me feedback and say, well, that sounded a bit like you were unsure about what that meant. How about we, you know, work on that and how we could say that differently. Absolutely. And by goodness, and we did that over a nice lunch. Yep. made it somewhat enjoyable. And I walked in feeling far more confident.
Mentors and practice, yeah, nothing takes the place of practice. And as I always say, prior preparation prevents poor performance.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you do have a business case to write and you do or you do have a project plan, or you have a, you know, quite simply a pricing model to do, or a cost analysis model, do it and really try and do it on your own first, then get some help. Give yourself enough time. And if you're not confident talking off the cuff to numbers, no one will ever fault anyone who's prepared. So for example, the couple of boards that I sit on, I make sure that I go through the numbers in great detail before I go to the board meeting. I write the questions that I have, and if they're not answered by general chit-chat through the finance and audit sections, I ask those questions. And I'm now not afraid to say, I don't understand these numbers. As late as yesterday, myself and another board member in a board meeting, we had a paper around some finances, and both of us said, we don't understand the intricate detail. Can you take us through this? And the executive in charge took us through the numbers, and it became apparent. Now, had we not asked that, the whole board wouldn't have been aware, but both of us admitted, we don't know what this means. So I think having that, tapping into that vulnerability and saying, I'm not across this, I need to help, I need help to understand it, is also a really good tactic.
Yeah. No, fantastic. What about, and this was not a set question for you, but I'm just thinking now, what about those questions you get asked on the run when you don't feel able to answer it on your feet right there and then? Is there a way you can manage that? You know, even with the best preparation, there sometimes are questions that throw you for six.
Absolutely, and don't pretend you'd be there. You know, this is not a time to fake it till you make it. You know, numbers are important. So if you don't know, say, look, I don't have that information at hand. Can I come back to you and within the next day? Or I'll get my team to pull together a paper. But you know, really don't try and pretend, because, you know, I think that's a real, that really undermines your authenticity as a leader. And it also, honestly, I would question an executive. I think we're all pretty good at with our BS detectors, and yes, when someone's making it up, it's usually pretty obvious. So be genuine. Say, I don't have that information at hand. I need to go and research it. I will come back to you, you know, within 24 hours or 48 hours, however long it takes.
Terrific. So back to that, you know, when you're talking to your boss, talk numbers first and people second. What else can you do to best demonstrate to people who are basically really important in your career that you have commercial acumen? Because if there's one thing that people call out when saying someone's not quite ready for their next role, 9 times out of 10, they say they're not commercial enough.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the question I'd ask, and I do like to answer questions with questions, you might have gathered that, is I'd say to those people, when did you last read your company's annual report or the equivalent of if you're in a non-listed company? And what did you learn about that? But most medium to large organisations will have some kind of half-year or full-year results pack, whether it's an annual report that goes to investors or something else. Get hold of that and read it, and then start to say, well, what do I understand, what I don't understand? The next step is to say, how do I incorporate being able to demonstrate my financial acumen in the day-to-day? So within your own teams, is there a section on your team meeting agenda where we can talk about the company results, the direction that we're heading in? Are you able to ask a question about, you know, what's happening with our share price at your team meetings? And people go, oh, wow, that's an interesting question. I wonder what's happening with the share price. And it's gone up, it's gone down. Why has it gone up? Why has it gone down? So starting conversation proactively when you lead that discussion demonstrates to stakeholders she's in the know. She's curious and she's interested. You don't have to know it all, but you, by starting or stimulating those conversations, it's a really great way to say, this is a person who gets where our company's going, as in, and is invested and interested in understanding how she can help us get there. So that's a couple of, you know, quite tactical things. In your one-on-one with your people leader, start building in. Let's have 10 minutes to talk about the financials of the organisation. Tell me where we're going and how and what levers we need to pull, so that you're getting, you know, you're demonstrating to your boss again your interest and your curiosity to keep learning more and more. Because that will naturally create the impression, and a genuine impression, you are genuinely curious and interested in deepening and enhancing your commercial acumen, and obviously as a result being a great contributor to the company's success.
Fantastic tips. I think that curiosity, and especially if you're in a functional role, So yes. Being curious of other functions and not getting stuck in your silo and being considered as only a functional specialist as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the questions I get when I run, you know, my sessions is, well, I'm in HR, so I don't, you know, lead a profit loss. And I say, well, but you are making commercial decisions every single day. You're contributing because, number one, what's your recruitment process and how quickly can you onboard people? Because if we haven't got enough people to do the work that needs to produce the output for the organisation, guess what? You're impacting productivity. How are you setting remuneration and benefit schemes? Again, you know, are you paying above market rate, below market rate? You're scanning the market, which is commercial acumen, to say, what do we need to pay to attract the best and the brightest and to engage and advance them in our organisation? So even getting, having women who are not in P&L roles or they're in non-functional roles, non-operational roles, to say, where is my position in the value chain in my organisation and how do I contribute to the company's performance? That's a really important aha moment for them. So they're great exercises to go through. I'm not in sales, but I'm absolutely helping generate revenue. No, I'm not in operations, but I'm absolutely helping cost control, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah, fantastic. And so you alluded to the, you know, the HR person pointing that out in a program that you are running. So how do you incorporate learning around this very important thing, commercial acumen, in the programs that you run?
Yeah, so at the very heart of it is saying, where do I, you know, What are the four main financial statements that an organisation has, and where might you, and we map it quite practically to your role, where might you contribute to that? How confident are you to talk to your company's financial performance? And what are the metrics that matter to your company? So, for example, if I looked at an organisation that I've been working with all year, they have a number of different financial metrics, but I was talking to one of their OH&S people earlier in the year, and she just said, I'm not entirely sure what happens. I said, well, you've got to look at keeping the company safe, keeping people working, because unless we've got, again, those people on the floor being productive and staying safe, we've got, number one, there's potential cost of injury, and particularly long-term injury, cost of litigation, brand and reputational image management, and, of course, revenue. If we haven't got enough workers on the floor producing the output for the organisation, revenue is impacted. And she went, right, I hadn't even thought about it like that. So very, very practically saying, where do I sit in the value stream of my company? Do I contribute to revenue? Do I contribute, everyone's a cost. So, you know, how do I offset the cost to the company? What's the value I create? So value stream mapping is part of it. Mm-hmm. And then quite practically going through practical examples of real life companies and looking at their annual reports, and looking at, you know, what drives some of those results in the annual reports. So when we talk about the customer and customer service, how do we, what decisions are we making that drives good customer service? So very, very practical exercises so that, you know, it's beyond theory, it's practical. And really I get women who, or all people, but predominantly women who come to the sessions to say, how do I contribute to my company's success and what do I need to do more of, and or what do I need to demonstrate more about the value that I add?
Fantastic. And we're so excited to have you going to be involved in the NAWO program content for next year. So that's super exciting. Can you give us a little snippet of what we can expect from the program you're going to be running for NAWO next year?
Yeah, so the program's called Metrics That Matter, and essentially what we do in that program is a couple of different things. So yes, there'll be some very practical, you know, understanding the language around the financial statements, but it's not a finance course. This is actually about what are my behaviours and practices and processes as a leader that means I'm going to create a high-performance team and a high-performance environment and accelerate my own career. So as practical as when I talk about my own performance, when I reflect on my own performance, do I talk about the metrics? Do I talk about the outcomes I've created? So have I taken cost out? Have I lifted revenue? Have I impacted customer satisfaction? How do I measure success in my for my own performance and my team's performance and my divisional performance? How do I demonstrate the decisions that I make are based on really good judgment? So on and so forth. So it's certainly a lot around leadership behaviours, leadership and managing, leading for results. Because we can often talk about activities and we can talk about the dimensions of our roles, but ultimately when we look up at the people leading our company, they want to know what outcomes you're creating for them. So what are our behaviours, our language, and how do we keep demonstrating that so that we can advance our career?
Fantastic, Michelle. So exciting. We can't wait. And the new year is coming around faster than I can.
Certainly is.
Keep up. So that's fantastic. And the new calendar with all the programmatic dates will be going up for the network in, you know, late December, early January. So everyone will be able to have a look and see when they can book in and have the fabulous opportunity to pause and stop from their normal every day to day and think about how they improve their commercial acumen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that word pause is so important, Louise, because stopping and reflecting and using the outputs of that reflection to inform our future behaviours is so important. So this is a real investment. And, you know, the reality is that I also have a lot of fun in the things that I do. So it's not all, you know, number crunching and, you know, head down. So we do a lot of experiential exercises. We do a lot of sharing and a lot of reflecting. So, and importantly, action planning, because, you know, it's nice to take a day out to do a course, but ultimately it's got to lead to results. So I really encourage people coming to the course to say, what's the one thing I'm going to do to really enhance my career and accelerate it?
Yeah, fantastic, Michelle. That's why we love you. You're fun and pragmatic. That's two qualities that we love. So thank you so much for speaking with us today. We look forward to working with you next year and all the best for the holiday season.
Thanks, Louise. Really enjoyed the chat and I look forward to seeing lots of people next year.
Well, I hope you got a lot out of that conversation. There are a few things that stuck out for me. Understanding money, power and influence. I love that Michelle's so passionate about that. Thinking about commercial acumen as knowing what keeps the CEO and board awake at night. I love that one. Telling a story when you're interpreting the numbers and how you can make sure that the story being told to you is the correct one. I love the bit about when talking to your boss, talk numbers first, then people, to illustrate that you're making decisions in a multi-dimensional way. How about you take some time over the break, if you're having one, to stop, reflect and get intentional on closing any gaps in your commercial acumen with NAWO in 2019. We're really pleased to let you know that Michelle Redfern will be running her fun, action-oriented commercial acumen workshops for NAWO in 2019. So please do check that out when the calendar is published in late December. Thanks for joining us today. And I'll speak to you again in a fortnight. Take care. Bye for now. If this episode of the NAWO podcast hit the mark for you and you'd like to know more about NAWO and the work that we do, please head to www.nawo.org.au, click subscribe, and you'll be a member of the NAWO community. You can also follow us on our company page on LinkedIn. If you're enjoying the podcast, we encourage you to share widely. Thanks so much for listening and being part of the solution. Bye for now. Plus, we encourage you to share widely. Thanks so much for listening and being part of the solution. Bye for now.